7:21, Dr. Kevin Most, back to school day. We'll talk concussions, sports-related concussions, and concussions in general in a second. But let's start with backpacks, Doc.
Yeah, how about it? You know, today, if you're in the city, when the city schools just start, you're watching the kids walk to school, and you're like, hey, they have empty backpacks. They don't look so bad. They haven't gotten their books yet. Come out of the burbs where the kids have been here, you know, in school for 2 weeks, and you see these children, young adults actually in some cases, walking with their backpacks and they're hunched over and they're jammed with stuff. And parents really need to realize and understand what's going on with backpacks and how much they should weigh and what a child should be carrying. Schools should know it as well as parents.
And kids have never done more homework. I don't know that that's going to change this year. So how do you know when your kid's backpack's too big? They got to get the stuff back and forth to school, don't they?
Well, that's the interesting thing. And aren't we at a point right now where we should be doing more online and on computers than books? You know, books are great, and I know they're probably somewhat inexpensive now because we're able to use books over and over again. But a lot of this information should be able to be pushed to a child online and let them use a computer at their home instead of carrying backpacks filled with books that can do damage to their shoulders and their backs right now.
So if a kid can't stand up straight with his backpack or her backpack, it's probably too heavy.
Oh, yeah. That's a very simple one. But really, if you want to see how out of whack we are, orthopedic surgeons and pediatricians say that backpacks should weigh no more than 10% of your body weight. So if you take a normal, say a 10-year-old, weighs 68 pounds, you know, that backpack should be 6.5 pounds.
Yeah, 6.5, 7 pounds.
It always corrects me when you see the little kids.
Studies.
Yeah, and the backpacks are bigger than they are.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely. Numerous studies have shown that we have kids carrying backpacks wear between 18 and 20 pounds. And we're doing damage to these kids' back. Their backs are still developing. Their shoulders are still developing. A lot of these kids still have open growth plates where their bones are developing, and we're putting stress on these areas that shouldn't be stressed at this point.
Give you some perspective, a study was done in 2010 that showed what?
The average weight of a sixth grader was 68 pounds. The average weight of their backpack was over 18 pounds, three times what they should have been carrying.
So the equivalent of that would be like a 200-pound man carrying an 80-pound backpack.
Yeah.
So put 80 pounds on your back and walk around all day.
Now, as we get to be adults, I guess we get smarter. But if you're looking up and down Michigan Avenue right now, there's a lot of people that are 200 pounds plus, and I assure you that they're not carrying 80 pounds in their backpack.
No.
Can you imagine, or their briefcase.
Imagine the complaining if they were.
Absolutely.
Special edition of Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. We're back to school, so we're back to sports. What about concussions? Seems the schools are smarter than ever.
The schools are smarter than ever, and concussions are something that I think it's important at this time of the year to lay it out for, especially for parents. You know, we know the coaches and the officials all get great training on concussions, but it's really important for the parents to understand what a concussion is, why we need to be much more careful with concussions than we were in the past. You think about it, Steve, I don't know how many concussions you had playing football.
How do you think I got into show business?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they used to say, okay, how many fingers am I holding up?
Right.
Two. Okay, you can go back in. And I'm sure back then, more and more players were allowed back into games because we didn't know what we know now about concussions.
No, so, you got dinged. Take one play off, take a series off, and get your butt back in there.
Yep.
Nobody checked you. If you got how many fingers I'm holding up, that was special treatment.
Yeah, it was. It was the coaches. When are you ready to get back in there? And now with all the studying that we're doing on concussions, we realize that the cumulative effect of concussions is one thing. So people who have multiple concussions and someone who's had a concussion without it completely healing and getting a second concussion on top of it is very dangerous, can be very detrimental to someone's mental health.
And what is it, bruising and scar tissue in the brain then?
It is. It's essentially, if you think about it, our brain is in the skull. Well, we don't have a lot of room to move around there. We want that to be as tight as possible. So the body was designed, developed, whatever you want to say, with a very thin area of protection because we have the skull to protect us. Other places in our body, we have fat and muscles that are going to protect us. In the head, though, when you hit something else hard, that brain gets pushed up against the skull and then comes back. So you have swelling, you have edema, you have damage that's done there. And what happens there? The child looks clumsy on the field. They're staggering. They may say they have a headache. Sometimes they get nauseated and throw up. And then as we move on, afterwards, they start to have memory problems. They can't concentrate. They don't remember the play. Those are all signs that, you know what, that child should not be on the field at all. And in fact, sometimes we don't even want them back in school for a couple of days. We want them to totally rest before they come back.
Now, we know that high schools have concussion oversight teams, and there's legal mandates like never before and school-wide mandates. So the high school stuff is a little easier to deal with. But for all the club football, club soccer, club sports, league sports in the fall, that's the stuff that's concerning because that really falls a lot on the parents.
Absolutely. And you said it right there. You know, each high school now has a concussion oversight team. There are physicians involved in that. There's parents, there's coaches, and they set guidelines as far as when a student can come back based on national guidelines. The problem is that some of the more elite athletes aren't even playing high school sports right now. They stay out of the high school sports and they play the club sports because they think they have a higher chance of getting a scholarship. And they probably do. You know, one of the things I think parents have to realize is your son is not going to be a professional football player. Your son is not going to be a professional soccer player. Just look at the math. And, you know, elite athletes in an area, well, there's 50 states here. So the chance of a child advancing to play professionally is very low. So we need to remember that there's a lot more doctors and lawyers out there than there are professional athletes. So let's protect these child's brains.
Doc, how little is too little? I mean, what should be the age? I know there's the Pop Warner leagues. All the fall leagues are starting now. What is the age that I guess is appropriate if a child wants to play football?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to have so many people hating me. I am not a big fan of youth football. I'm not a big fan of high school football, to be honest with you. I mean, it's great to watch, but we really need to understand what we're doing to these kids. So people say, well, at Pop Warner speeds, you know, they're not even running fast enough to injure themselves. Well, I can assure you that high school students and college athletes have helmets that fit them. In Pop Warner, they have helmets that, here, just try this one. So are we advancing more to make sure that the equipment is safer? Yeah. But you're still, at that age, you're having a child that is really, their brain is still very young and developing. Even as a high school student, your brain is still developing. We have portions of our brain that aren't fully developed till we're in our 20s. And we're just doing damage to these by having the impact that we have with sports.
A couple of quickie questions. Water in the ears, how do I get rid of it? These are from texters.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. People have water when they say they have water in their ears. So we have an eardrum. You have your canal and then you have your eardrum. And people say, I have water in my ear. Well, if it's on the outside of the ear, outside of the eardrum, people always want to put Q-tips in. It's the worst thing you can do. You can push a Q-tip straight through your eardrum and have major problems. Lie on your side, put some cotton on there, and see if it drains. A lot of people have water in their ear. It's on the other side of their eardrum, and it's not really water in there. It's congestion. Often a decongestion will help with that, and if you have allergies, something like Flonase will help open that tube in the back so that that'll drain and equalize.
773 texter, what do you think of the gastric sleeve?
Gastric sleeve, I mean, it's interesting now with weight loss surgery that we're having. Gastric sleeve is a great surgery, a little bit less invasive than some of the others. But actually now there's a lot of great technology out there. We talked in the past about the balloon. You know, gastric sleeve is still having surgery where this balloon now, they'll put a balloon into your stomach, they fill the balloon up, and you essentially get the exact same thing as a gastric sleeve where you feel early satiety. You're full after eating half of a meal. And that's completely reversible. So I would look into that before I was going to run down the surgical side of it.
And then the chronic low back, I know I'm not the only one dealing with this, and you know I'm not going to quit golfing. So outside of stretching and what, is it heat or ice? What am I doing?
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, we talked about backpacks and the strain we put on our backs through our childhood and through our lives, we're going to end up paying for at the end. So, like you said, you have a back brace on right now. The vast majority of those are, hate to say it, completely worthless. The only thing it really does is make you think about your low back pain and make sure that you don't do something stupid. So,
well, that has benefit to me. Anything that reminds me not to do another stupid thing is good for me.
It's you know, good body mechanics, lift properly, don't get yourself in a position where you're going to put undue strain in your back. You sit for a long period of time, you should stand. Sitting is the worst position. There's more weight put or more stress put on your low back when you're sitting than when you're standing. So for people that have back pain and sit a lot at work, get up and move around. Anti-inflammatories are good, just don't take them on an empty stomach. And as far as heat and ice, if it's an injury, and besides that, you know, warm heat, showers and jacuzzis are fine to help the muscles relax.
And it's, other than that, it's time?
It is time. It's time. Oof. And don't do anything stupid to it, you know. So if you want to play golf, which again is not great for your low back, and you have back pain, don't go out and hit range balls saying, you know what, I'm not going to play, I'm just going to hit practice balls. You do more damage because you're hitting more shots. So if you want to hit chips and putts, that's fine. But besides that, it's time for rest.
Doc, in that answer to my question, you used the word stupid 47 times.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know, okay, as long as you know.
He was basically saying you don't need practice.
Yeah.
Right, is that what he said? No.
Yeah.
He played with me last week, and he knows I need to practice. Doc, thank you, as always. It's Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day, and your big story is next.